Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Hello and welcome, everyone. My name is Dennis, and I am here with the Spirit of Truth Ministry research team getting ready for another study entitled The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. Thank you for joining us today on this June 29, 2019. And just apropos of that, yesterday the number of downloads on Blog Talk Radio were 63 downloads. Today, day before yesterday was 63. Yesterday it was 24. And so we're still getting quite a number of you who are listening on the download, not on the down low. we're glad of that. We encourage you to tell your friends that they can go to this website at blogtalkradio.com/SOT and go to the episodes. You can download now, as of yesterday, 1,055 programs, and today will be episode 1,056. I have the chat room up and running, and there are listed two websites for you to go to and make use of. We also encourage you, if you have any comments or questions, please write them down and send them in, and we'll answer them. Or if you decide that you want to take the risk, is to give us a call. We are always kind, gentle, and respectful of people who call in, because we do want to get your opinion on these things that we talk about. We are serious. Yes,
exactly.
We need.
What is the risk involved?
So the risk is formulating a question that you really do want the answer to, as opposed to just coming on board to try. Well, we've had people come on board and try to take over. So anyway, but we are willing to risk it too. Anyway, let's have prayer and we'll get started. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, thank you so much for being with us today in spirit and in truth. Thank you for sending your Holy Spirit, our mother, whose name is Wisdom, Sophia, to be with us, to direct us to the right words and the right understanding of those words, so that we can develop not faith, but trust in the truth that God has sent through Jesus Christ. And I thank you for this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Good morning, Don.
Good morning.
And good morning, Larry. Nice to see you here today. And, of course, right across. Oh, okay. I'll take care of it.
Looking for food.
Yeah, she's there. All right. Here you go.
The light have come into the world so that whoever believes in me need not stay in the dark any more.
John 12, right? Text me.
Read that yesterday. John 12. 46. I'd like you to turn the pages in your Bible back a couple to John 7, verse 12. When Jesus spoke to the people again, he said, I am the light of the world, anyone who follows me will not be walking in the dark. He will have the light of life.
What's the scripture?
John 7, 12.
Because I'm at John 7, 12.
It is 12. Yeah, John 7, 12. Unless it changed to 8. Oh, it did change to 8. Sorry. In my Bible, the chapters, if it's a continuation, they put the chapter number in the text, not on the side. So.
Yeah, so this is John 8:12.
8:12, yes.
Sounds like a different gospel.
I am the light of the world. So he is saying he is the light for everyone, not just the children of Israel.
You mean not just for Christians? Not just for different denominations? I mean, this is heretical to some people, Rick.
Dennis, maybe you haven't been informed, but I have been informed by many who tell me that Jesus' sole purpose in coming to this world was to try to wake up the children of Israel and save a few of them.
Oh, yeah, and that's basically...
And that was it. That was it. It wasn't a worldwide message.
Right.
It was just to the Jews.
And by the way, this is not from Jesus' own words. This is from the quote-unquote Apostle Paul, who actually never heard Jesus.
What God, Elohim, has always said, has always maintained, has always made very clear and left no doubt that his sole, S-O-L-E, purpose, his sole purpose for his connecting to humanity here on earth, or should I say, reconnecting to humanity here on earth, was to enlighten all nations. That's what his plan was in the beginning, from the beginning, for a new beginning. It is the devil who wants you to believe that the message the Son of God brought to this world in person, in the quote-unquote flesh, was only and specifically for the Jews. And that the message for the non-Jews was the one that God himself gave to Paul. If the Son of God is the Savior of the world, and it is his message that saves the world, then his message is for the world and everyone in it. And that's why he said, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will not be walking in the dark. He will have the light of life. There is no darkness in life. In order to have life, you have to have the light of life, and that is the truth. Not my truth, your truth, their truth, God's truth. This is understanding that is true. God is truth because God holds the essence of God is truth. And he wants our essence to be truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And the Father gave us this demonstration. Actually, he gave it to those who had control of the truth in the day when his son was testifying to the truth, and those who had ownership and control of the truth recognized right away that he was telling the truth. And when I say they had controlled the truth, is they knew what the truth was, but they didn't want the masses to know what the truth was because they wouldn't be able to handle it. They wouldn't be able to understand it. And more importantly, those who controlled the truth would lose their power over the people to control them. You remember yesterday I talked about the left and leftists that they have their own ideal of how they want the world to be, and the world that they want is a socialist, communist, fascist world. Why? Because it allows the leadership to control the masses, to tell them what to do, to run them around like sheep.
Allows the blind to remain blind.
And they have a carefully crafted message that is nothing but lies, that they promise the world and deliver slavery. The Father, as the Father is given to doing, gave a visual demonstration of the message he had given his son. We find it in the next chapter of John. John chapter 9. All of us, every human being, flesh and blood, are born blind. Not the blindness of the brain. You see, our bodies, our flesh bodies, are what allow our consciousness to interact in the world. We interact with each other. We interact with the vegetation. We interact in building things, in doing things. That's what our body is for. Our eyes visualize the world around us. We actually see the image in our brain. Our consciousness performs all of the functions and then tells our body what to do. So, insight would be consciousness related. eyesight would be interactive related. When you drive a car, you need to be able to see the road and the other cars. If you were blind, you would need very special equipment and you would not be able to drive on a road. You would need a self-driving vehicle. Why? Because your mind, which makes all the determinations about whether you're on in your lane and whether there's a car turning in front of you, and whether there's a pedestrian crossing the street, and whether you need to speed up or whether you need to apply the brake and slow down. Your eyes give your consciousness the ability to know these things so that your body can perform it. Our bodies are nothing but a way of interacting with the world that we are living in. We have ears to hear, we have eyes to see, and we have a mouth to communicate with. But it all goes in to our consciousness and consciousness awareness. If we were physically blind, if our eyes could not see the world around us, it would greatly limit what we would be able to do. So God gives us a visual, physical demonstration of a spiritual malady the whole world suffers from. The whole world suffers from. And that is, when we are born, we may be able to see the world around us, but our consciousness, our intellect is ready to learn. And what is put into our intellect gives us the ability to see spiritually. And if what is in our intellect is the truth, then we perceive. Our perception in the world comes from the knowledge of truth. But if we have lies, our perception of the world is determined through the process of the lies that we have been taught.
I have just a small observation about light and darkness. When Jesus stated, "I am the light of the world," and in him no darkness exists at all, this would, for certain, at the very least, preclude the yin and the yang, which is a little bit of darkness and light and a little bit of light in darkness. And we must be balanced. The idea that God loved the world so much that he sent his only begotten Son to bring light to it. For me, this is just me, the definition of light in this case is truth. The definition of darkness in this case is lies.
And the intent was to replace the darkness with light.
Yes.
A good example was written in lyrics to a song done by who? The band. And we won't get fooled again. I gave a couple of presentations using that song. The new boss is same as the old boss. You vote for the one that has promised you everything that you want and has delivered absolutely nothing of any of those promises. And then what they do is they make more controls. They control what you learn in school. They control your liberty. They control what you can eat and can't eat. They control what you can have and can't have. And of course, they all do it for the common good.
Okay, Rick, if we could insert something here, can we define they?
The liars who manage to weasel their way into politics and leadership. It is interesting that the party on the left has been talking about reparations. And I say, well, that's fine, but what you need to do instead of making everybody, now I'm not saying they're going to do this, but I'm just saying, if you're going to look at the truth in the matter, the truth in the matter is this, that all the slave owners, when this country had slavery, were on the left. All of them. Every single one. So if you want, and it's the left, of course, that wants reparations. So that's fine. If the left wants to make reparations, let them do it, because they are the ones who are guilty, if you want to call it that,
transgressors.
Of the transgressors that would be the ones who would have to pay. I mean, why would you make a group of people pay reparations when they didn't commit a crime or didn't do what they're saying that they would do? The party on the left has been the party of control. The party on the right has been the party of liberty. Now, I do know the difference between liberty and freedom.
Liberty is granted. Freedom is endemic.
Liberty has defined borders which cannot be crossed.
You said the right is liberty or freedom. What did you say?
The right is liberty. Freedom allows for self-discipline. Liberty does not allow for self-discipline totally.
Point is, neither of them have it exactly right.
Exactly. So whoever controls the information controls the world. If you look for it, you will find what you're looking for. If you accept the status quo, then that's what you get. And if the status quo is control, that's what you get. What you learn in history is mostly fables. It is a scenario constructed by those who want to use history as control. And if you knew the truth about history, you would be shocked.
That's exactly right.
The light who came into the world was a light for the intellect, for the soul of humans. Not a light to light up the atmosphere. Not a light so that people who were living in eternal darkness would be able to see the way out of their house, would be able to see the way down the road. They could do that. They could see. There was nothing wrong with their physical eyes, but there was plenty wrong with their spiritual eyes. Because the narrative had been controlled for thousands of years. And the narrative was nothing but darkness, with a little bit of believability put in there to keep it pertinent. John chapter 9, the curing of the man born blind. And remember, this happened just after the dissertation and discussion and events that occurred in John chapters 6, 7, and 8, where the Son of God made that most seemingly repulsive statement that anyone could ever make. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. But then he said to his disciples, this: if I speak the truth, why do you not believe me? A child of God listens to the words of God. If you refuse to listen, it is because you are not God's children.
What is that text exactly?
John chapter 8, verse 47.
Thank you.
It is in John chapter 6, verses 58, 59. And on, he taught this doctrine at Capernaum in the synagogue. After hearing it, many of his followers said, "This is intolerable language. How can anyone accept it?" Jesus was aware that his followers were complaining about it and said, Does this upset you? What if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? Where was he before he came to earth? He was in the heavens. Can a flesh and blood human being live in space? Can a flesh and blood human being transcend from this earth into the heavens without special life support suit on?
No.
So what would he need to be if he were to leave the earth and go to the heavens?
A spiritual being.
A spiritual being. So he says, it is the spirit that gives life. The spirit. What is the spirit? Each one of us has a spirit. What is that spirit? It's also known as a soul.
And it is generated inside of a magnetic field.
It is generated and maintained inside of a magnetic field. I was discussing this with my brother-in-law, and I said, can you communicate with a computer program that is held in a magnetic field, that has been put in and that has been programmed into and held in a magnetic field? Can you talk to it? He said, no. I said, Alexa, tell me something. And she responded, or it responded. I said, I proved my point. He couldn't argue with that because I had just asked a computer program a question verbally and it had verbally responded. The spirit, the soul, is all that is important. It is life. I told you yesterday, you know, I've been a nurse for 43 years, did critical care and cardiovascular lab. I have taken care of quite a few, quote-unquote, brain-dead patients that are on life support.
I hope you didn't consider me that that way, although I probably...
No, you weren't on life support.
Yeah, not yet.
A brain-dead person has no life. In that body. The life in that body has left. Their consciousness is being maintained in the magnetic field that God has that maintains all the consciousness of those who have fallen asleep in death, to be restored to them in a new body at the resurrection, when they are awakened. So when he's talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, he's saying, you must consume my life, my spirit, my soul, my consciousness awareness. That is the light of life. And that light is the truth, the whole truth, the complete truth, nothing but the truth, the uncorrupted truth. It is not a truth to control. It is a truth that allows you to see so that your behavior is in accordance with the truth. It is the spirit that gives life. The flesh has nothing to offer. Nothing. the flesh is only an avatar, if you will. The flesh is only an interactive tool, I guess you could say. It is the way that allows your consciousness to interact with the world in which you live. It allows you to build and plant. It allows you to drive. It allows you to eat food so that it can be maintained by the food you eat. And God uses examples of what you need to maintain your flesh and how you use your flesh in what you need to do for what is really important, and that is your life, which is your spirit, your soul, your consciousness awareness. It needs to be fed. And you know that if you eat nothing but sugar, you will die. You know if you drink nothing but alcohol, you will die. If you don't eat the food that is good for your body will be diseased. It'll be weak. It won't work right. It won't allow you to interact with the world in which you live because you haven't given it what it needs. And your spirit, your soul, your consciousness, awareness is the same. The food it needs is truth. Lies are deadly. Lies will kill it. What should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world but lose his own soul? Wealth only benefits the physical. Truth benefits the spiritual. The devil knows this, and that's why he's made such a big deal about it. But he's kept it quiet. Only those in his inner circle really know what's going on. And they're all in the darkness. A darkness, a spiritual darkness, controlled and maintained by the prince of darkness, the devil, and his co-conspirators. John chapter 9. As he went along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. All of us, every human being who has ever been born has been blind from birth spiritually, except for the Son of God and the birth of Adam from the ground and the males and females that were created on the sixth day of creation, the nation. The nations were deceived by the narrative that was controlled by Lucifer. And that narrative you can read in the Enuma Elish, the Sumerian creation account. The devil controlled the narrative of creation. He made it very similar to what really happened. He was around when it happened. He made it very similar so that he could use that. When the Bible came along, all the intellectuals, all those who have the degrees and credentials in ancient history, archaeology, can say, well, We have a similar creation story in the Enuma Elish, which was written in 3000 BCE or earlier. And we have a creation story in Genesis, which was written about 1437 BCE. So the older one would be more reliable. And to most, that would say, well, yeah, that's right. It's like saying that the Gospel of Luke, because it's the oldest gospel, is the more accurate gospel, when in fact it's the one that tells more lies than anything.
Kamala Harris. Sorry.
But see, when someone thinks about what they know that Moses didn't write this account from his memory because he didn't remember it. He wasn't there. He was writing from what God was telling him. And the last I knew, God was the one doing the creating. So who are you going to believe? The Sumerians writing the Enuma Elish, or the God who actually did the creating and was telling his leader, his prophet, Moses, what he did? Oh, I never thought about that. I put that on a couple of blogs and had a few likes. And nobody thinks about this.
Nice to have friends, isn't it?
I don't even know who they are. So, yes, it is nice to have friends. The man born blind is an example of all of us, spiritually. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned? Who sinned? Why would the disciples ask that question? I mean, who sinned? Where did they get the idea that the man who was born blind was born that way because of sin? That's quite a profound thought, right? You see how God works? Why were we born spiritually blind? Was it because we sinned, or was it because our parents sinned, or their parents, or their parents? Oh, yeah, It was because of sin, wasn't it? But not because of my sin or their sin. It was because of sin. Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents? For him to have been born blind. Neither he nor his parents sinned. The darkness that we are born into spiritually is not because of any specific sin. It is because it is the environment that the prince of this world has constructed, maintained, and preserved. We didn't learn the lies because that's what we wanted to learn. We learned the lies because that's what we were taught. And that's what our parents were taught and their parents. And this has gone on for eons. he was born blind so that the works of God might be displayed in him, might be visualized in him. You can learn from him how God works in regards to blindness. You see, the Son of God had just said, the flesh accounts for nothing. It is the Spirit. So he's not saying that God made this man be born blind so that I could work a miracle and I could give him his sight. And no one has ever heard of anyone receiving their sight when they've been born blind. And so I can wow the crowds. The multitudes will say, whoa, he must be a prophet. But they still wouldn't listen to him. Because that has to do with the soul. And they weren't about ready to become vulnerable to what he was saying. He said, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. So what he's saying is intolerable. But what he's doing, that's nice. That's humanitarian. He's giving someone who's never seen in their whole entire life, he's giving them sight. And we can all marvel and wonder, but don't listen to what he has to say. Because he speaks nonsensical teachings. And the leadership who control the narrative have already determined that he has no authority to teach, and what he's teaching is not consistent with their teaching, which is consistent with the law. Then he says, he makes this statement, and listen. As long as the day lasts, I must carry out the work of the one who sent me. The night will soon be here when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, here it is again, I am the light of the world. He says that over and over again. Do you think he's trying to impress upon our minds that we need to pay attention to what he is saying? And we need to learn not only the words he said, but we need to know the meaning of the words that he said. Then it doesn't seem so unacceptable. So repulsive when he says, eat my flesh and drink my blood. What he's saying is, my life must be in you. My life is the truth. And if the truth is in you, my life will be in you. And my life is eternal life. And if it is in you, you too have eternal life. Having said this, he spat on the ground, made a paste with the spittle, put this over the eyes of the blind man, and said to him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, a name which means sent. So the blind man went off and washed himself and came away with his sight restored. How can you have restored sight if you never saw? that this is kind of an interesting thing. Because what I see in what he's doing is what he saw his father do 4,000 or so years earlier. When his father spat on the ground and formed the man. He spat on the ground. He took the clay. He worked it. He put it on the eyes of the blind man and said what? Go baptize them. Wash them. Water cleansing. Water cleansing. His neighbors and people who earlier had seen him begging said, isn't this the man who used to sit and beg? Some said, yes, it is the same one. Others said, no, he only looks like him. The man himself said, I am the man. I am the man. And he should know, right? So they said to him, then how do your eyes, how do your eyes come to be open? Remember, we are thinking in spiritual terms. How do you now understand these things? You were blind, you don't know anything. Now you say you see. What do you know? I know I see. Well, how did this happen? How did this come to be?
You're asking me?
The man called Jesus, he answered, made a paste, daubed my eyes with it, and said to me, go and wash in Siloam. So I went, and when I washed, I could see. They asked, where is he? Well, I don't know. I couldn't see. So what did they do? Well, they have to take the man to the experts on site. They brought the man who had been blind to the Pharisees. You know, they should know, right? It had been a Sabbath day when Jesus made the paste and opened the man's eyes. So when the Pharisees asked him how he had come to see, he said, he put a paste on my eyes, and I washed, and I can see. Well, then some of the experts said, this man cannot be from God. He does not keep the Sabbath.
That was pretty good. Not bad.
Others said, more rationally, how could a sinner produce signs like this? How could a sinner give a man born blind his sight? How could someone breaking the law, who is preaching lies and working on behalf of the devil, say anything that is true and could give life to anyone? Because, of course, the Pharisees et al. Had control of the narrative. They were the ones with the truth, and anybody saying anything different was a liar and working for the devil. And boy, I'll tell you, I can certainly identify that type of an experience.
He who shouts a lie long enough and hard enough will produce that lie in others.
And there was disagreement among them, so they spoke to the blind man again. What have you to say about yourself now that he has opened your eyes? He is a prophet, replied the man. However, the Jews would not believe the man had been blind, and this had all been a smoke and mirrors magical trick.
Fake news.
So, what did they do? So, they contact the parents. They sent for the parents. Is this man really your son, who you say was born blind? If so, how is it that he now is able to see? Well, his parents answered, and they were very afraid to take any responsibility here, because if they said something that wasn't acceptable to the temple leadership, guess what? They would be excommunicated from the synagogue and from life.
Then they couldn't go to church.
We know he is our son, and we know he was born blind, but we don't know how it is that he can now see, or who opened his eyes. You see, that's a very safe answer. So the Jews again sent for the man and said to him, give glory to God. For our part, we know this man is a sinner. The man answered, I don't know if he is a sinner. I only know that I was blind and now I can see. They said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He replied, I've already told you once you wouldn't listen. Oh, ho, ho, you wouldn't listen. Why? Because he wasn't saying what they wanted to hear.
It didn't fit their narrative.
That's right.
Found out their paradigms weren't worth two bits.
then he says something. Then he says something. I love this. Why do you want to hear it all again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Talk about throwing a match into a gasoline vaporized room. They said, we are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. But as for this man, we don't know where he came from. The man replied, now, here is an astonishing thing. He has opened my eyes, and you don't know where he came from? We know that God does not listen to sinners, but God does listen to men who are devout and do his will. The establishment has always been set against God. And they have done this always in the name of God. They are supporting the darkness and maintaining its control over the people.
And the deep state has been in existence for thousands and thousands of years. Thank you, Rick. That was a terrific study. Thank you all for being here with us today. We encourage you to join us a week from today for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus. And we also encourage you to join us next Friday for another edition of The Bible on Trial at 10 a.m., both at 10 a.m. Pacific Time. Our website is located at spiritoftruthministry.net. And again, we encourage you to download from our Blog Talk Radio webpage any of our past programs. So on behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis saying so long for now. We'll see you all next week.